Hey everyone, welcome to Thriving Marriage with Mark and Bethany. This is our weekly discussion of marriage and family in the Christian life. And we're talking today about the idol of personal happiness in marriage. I mean, this is something that the culture, we think, pushes, and the human sinful flesh kind of likes hearing that your marriage ultimately is about you being happy and fulfilled in this world. And we think the Bible says otherwise, and so we're going to talk about it.
Wait a second. You're not here to make me happy solely? I thought that was your head job in life. Well,
my perspective on it is that, yes, I should be. I'm here to serve you. But I've got news for you.
Yeah?
You're here to serve me.
No. I don't like that side of it as much as the first half. Let's just stop it right there. But I think that's it's so true. The natural thinking in just our fallen sinful flesh is like, this person should really be here to fulfill my needs and do what I want, and they should really see that I need this and they can help me here. You know, it's like constantly like, how can you do these things for me?
Yeah, and then you can see where that goes as soon as you stop making me happy, as soon as I'm no longer fulfilled in this relationship, then I need to get out because I need a relationship that makes me happy.
Yes. And you do see that so much around the culture, you know, go in it for if they make you happy, then it's great. And if it's not, really, it's a bad relationship. It's, you know, you need to love yourself. You need to get out. You need to find somebody who can love you the way you love yourself. I mean, it's just all this messaging that's really terrible messaging.
And even if you don't get out of the relationship, because that's obviously taking that mentality to the full extent, and actually separating, you know, severing the relationship, ending it and leaving. But I think a lot of couples might kind of continue in a relationship with a bad attitude, one that is kind of, you know, self-pitying and wishing that they were happier and more fulfilled and feeling like this isn't fair, but I'm just gotta, this is my cross to bear and I just have to suffer through this.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we want to the best of our ability in 15 minutes, smash that and say marriage was not designed to make you happy. This is a cultural message and pressure and sinful inclination.
Yes.
And we need to understand, what is marriage for? Why did God create it? And how do we kind of reconcile all this stuff together? And so just to maybe state all this introductory matter more clearly, we think the culture says marriage should make you happy and fulfilled, but we think that the Bible says marriage is about something much bigger than that.
Yes.
And ultimately, in your marriage, day in and day out, your mentality should be to serve your spouse, to care for them, not that you're going to get something out of the relationship and be served and be happy and fulfilled as a result.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're going with this. We're going to talk about it in two parts. First, we'll talk about the problem and the cultural pressures and messaging and all that. And then we can talk about what we believe the biblical solution is.
Yeah.
So first, let's think about that problem. Why is it that the culture loves sending that message of your marriage should make you happy? That, you know, people in your life should make you happy. It's all about you. And you being happy.
That is like the central message of our culture right now, is it's all about self, making sure you are pleased, you are content, you have what you need to go after those things. And it's a message that goes across in so many areas. But I think in marriage, the same message comes true, that if you're listening to what the world would say, is that it's here to fulfill your needs and to make you happy. And so go after a marriage, go after a relationship that was going to please you alone.
Yeah.
Make that the highest priority.
And you think about the different channels through which that message is put into your brain, right? I mean, in our world today, you can see that behavior modeled in movies and shows and by Hollywood.
Right.
And that's just kind of, you know, expected to see that disposition played out with the highest production value, you know, most entertaining way possible. We hear it through messaging, and you know, whether it be songs or shows,
podcasts.
You know. Yeah,
yeah.
So we hear it through those channels. We then hear it through people who parrot that information, or who just who think that, who talk just in the neighborhood or at sports games or wherever, and it's just all around us all the time. And so we are really inundated with these kind of messages that you're the most important person and you should be happy.
Yeah. And like you said in the introduction, it really does kind of strike a chord that we like in our fallen, sinful selves. I mean, I like the idea that you're there. I joked about it at the beginning to just make me happy. That sounds great. In my sinfulness, I would like everything to be about me and for me. I would like my expectations be met. I would like to be happy all the time. I would like to eat chocolate every day. I mean, there's just there's a list of positive things that I, and you even hear it as I'm saying it, I would like these things for myself. That corresponds with a lot of what we have to fight against in who we are as sinners when we commit to Christ and say, we're not no longer following ourselves, you're in charge. We need to resist that sinful temptation, and we need to say we're going to follow you. But that message of it's about you, ooh, it sounds really good.
Right.
It's a tempting message to fall into.
Yeah. And the first step in the Christian life is to take yourself off of the throne and put Jesus on the throne.
Right.
And it's your life is no longer about you being happy and fulfilled necessarily. It's about you following the Lord, serving the Lord.
Yes.
He's the one in charge now.
Yeah.
And so, we have just a fundamental disposition, desire to put ourselves back on the throne and to be selfish. That's we don't have to be taught how to be selfish. We're automatically selfish.
Yes.
We need to, by the grace of God, learn to be selfless and put others in front. And so we need that transformation in our hearts. We need God to change our lives and to, in the Spirit, to give us the power to fight that selfishness.
Yeah.
And so there's an uphill battle there. But yeah, I think, so we're identifying, not only is there this cultural pressure, but maybe the reason there's cultural pressure is that that's the natural human inclination because of our fallen, sinful condition. And so in our flesh, we like that. We are drawn to that, but we've got to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to resist that. And we cannot buy into the cultural pressure or just the inward, you know, motivation of our hearts to be selfish.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem that we're up against. It's a big one. And it's a daily battle. It's a, you know, ongoing battle. And you put it into the domain of marriage and you just recognize, man, that's a recipe for disaster. If you have two people that come into a relationship and want for themselves to be happy and fulfilled and think it's all about them,
right?
It is a perfect storm.
Yeah. And often you can look at problems in a marriage and see that the problem, big or small, might come from the fact that you're both pursuing just what you want and not serving or loving somebody else. But you're really going hard after trying to fill your own desires, your own wants and needs, rather than putting the other person ahead of you. We see a lot of conflicts come out of those two people just serving themselves.
Yeah.
So
totally. So let's spend some time now thinking about what is the solution to this big and complex problem. And I think we can say, you know, the right answer first, and then we can try to unpack that a little bit and talk about how do we actually do that. But the right answer, if you're a Christian, is to live out your calling and to imitate Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to keep putting him or maintaining him as you know, the one who's on the throne in your heart. And, you know, in doing so, serve your spouse. And so all of that, you know, you can take from a passage like Ephesians 5 that says, husbands, you should love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so you have this model of self-giving, self-sacrificing love for the other. And, you know, even in 1 Corinthians 7, your body is not for you, it's for your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about you, it's about them. There's kind of this message from the Bible about how we should view our marriage. It's not about you. It's about your spouse, and you need to follow Christ in that, imitate him in that, and serve. So that's the right answer. The question is, how do we actually do that? You know, what does that look like day to day? How do we break that down? How do we live that out if that's our desire to hit that target?
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind is if we want to maintain that mindset, we need to make sure we're consistently putting into our minds that desire to imitate Jesus by filling it with things that Jesus says, Jesus did, his words, by putting ourselves in a context where we can battle the problem messaging that it's all about you. We need to make sure that we are also hearing more so even, or, you know, going after the messages of be like Christ, learn who Christ is so that you can imitate and follow him. I mean, so just practically, if you don't know much about who Jesus is, if you don't know much about his words or how he lives, you need to make sure that you are learning about him in the word, at church, understanding who this person is that you've said I've committed my life to, and learning more and more, not just being content with, I don't know, what you learned in Sunday school or what you've already always known.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's super important. And it's funny. It's kind of obvious, you know, like, well, read your Bible and go to church.
Right.
That's basically what you just said.
Yeah, it's true.
But are you? It, you know, and if you're struggling with these selfish, kind of self-centered struggles in your marriage, are you reading your Bible? And are you going to church? And are you forgetting some of the fundamentals of the Christian life?
Yeah.
Maybe. And maybe you just need to kind of renew your commitment to the Lord in those areas. And that makes a huge difference.
Right.
Because we need to keep putting the right stuff in front of us, the right attitudes, and challenging each other to live that way. And, you know, putting ourselves in a community of other people who are living that way.
Yeah.
That's super important.
Yes. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, so when you were talking, Romans 12:2 comes to mind, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we're recognizing that there is a temptation and a pressure to conform to the world and the world's attitude about your happiness in marriage. Mm-hmm. And then there's the biblical mandate here to not give into that, but rather to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And going to church and reading your Bible and being in Christian community is the kind of the biblically prescribed way that we go about doing that stuff.
Yeah, when you have that commitment to fill your mind with the right things and continuously do that, not just maybe once on the Sundays, right, but more than that, then God will use that when the rubber meets the road of, I want to serve my spouse and I commit to following Jesus in this way. But now I'm in a spot where what I really want is him to just get up and do this for me. Or why isn't he, you know, meeting my needs and helping with the kids in this area? When those problems arise in your mind and in your heart, when you have work to reprogram your thinking, you know, you have that biblical truth in there shouting a different answer, saying, wait a second, you committed to imitating Christ. You have an expectation right now that's probably sinful, peaking up, causing you frustration in your marriage or causing you to be upset or why am I not getting my way? And now that truth will come forward and be able to at least provide another way, another option for you to say, well, okay, now the rubber meets the road. Okay, I'm frustrated. I want something. I'm not getting it. How do I move forward with that? Because I've put in this good content with what God has said.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can just, in those times, you can just serve and seek to outdo the other. And,
right.
But you can also talk. And, you know, if you're kind of, you know, if you keep having these thoughts of like, man, why am I doing this or that? Or it seems like I'm doing all the service. It could just be your sinful heart, like, you know, not seeing things clearly.
It usually is for me. No.
But, and I don't mean you,
I know,
myself included. But it also could be the case that, yeah, maybe the relationship is really lopsided at this point and have a conversation about it and let's talk.
Yeah.
So I think that's important too, and to approach that and then to leave the conversation with good, realistic expectations, mm-hmm. you know? So there are some ways forward here, but it's a lifelong battle, right? Yeah. I mean, we're always going to be battling the flesh. We're always going to be having to resist our sinful desires. And right at the core of that is this kind of self-centered, selfish mentality. So
I think even just bringing that up, we can see that for me, at least in these moments, I need to restructure my expectations so that I can see that I'm going to serve you and that I can be committed to that. I'll just be really honest. When in this relationship, when I see that I'm really wanting you to make me happy and fulfill my needs, it's usually because I want you to do some sort of work. I want you to do the dishes, or I want you to do whatever. Sure, I don't know. The list is here and there. And often I will even have a moment of clarity in my mind, and it's God's kindness to me to say, you know, right now your expectation is that you're getting served. You don't have this expectation that you're supposed to be serving your family or serving your spouse. It's flipped right now for whatever reason. You're tired. You know, you feel like you've done 1,000 things. You don't want to do the 1,001 thing that day. But 1,001 isn't a word.
No. Well, I went with it.
1,001st thing that day. And it is God's kindness to say you have a wrong expectation. You might say in your mind you're committed to serving and not having this marriage be about you. But right now, something has crept in where it's taken control and it's said, oh, Bethany, you're done serving. You need somebody else to step in. You're through with it. And that's a moment where I can say, oh, I want to battle that. I still want to go after what I want. Or I can say, okay, God, I am committed to this truth. I help me prayerfully, in humility, to continue to serve in this moment when the battle has begun in my heart.
Totally. Yeah. And so you just have to see those are the times mm-hmm. that the battle is, you know, happening mm-hmm. in your life, and you got to fight. And this probably is a daily, weekly
yes.
thing.
Yes.
And so we just need to see how often this happens and not be caught off guard by it. And I guess just to end this episode with a challenge, I would say, you know, go and see for yourself that the claims of the Bible are true, that, for example, it is better to give than to receive.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus's words in John 13 that he says, blessed are you, happy are you. If you know these things in John 13, talking about serving other people, he says, blessed are you if you do them. And so the message there in John 13 is there is a way of life that in imitating me, has you serving other people, and you do that and you find out that serving others actually amounts to blessedness or happiness in this world. And so go and serve your spouse and think about them and just see how rewarding and enjoyable that actually is, because that's our calling. That's a biblical model. And that's the challenge that we get to face on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's such a great encouragement here. Well, thanks so much for listening in, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. See ya.